out more about the ministry. Obtain other CD series messages at the CPM bookstore. Invite Dr. Gooden to serve or speak at your next ministry conference or meeting. And find out how you can partner with Centerpiece Ministries.
Centerpiece Ministries, where he is the Prince of Peace.
We'd love to hear from you. So take advantage of one or all of our resources. Call, write, or email today. Tune in to the Totally Committed to Peace radio ministry broadcast with Dr. Angela Gooden every Friday from 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on this, your station, KAYT, Alexandria.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Let God stop worrying about it and trying to figure out how it's going to work out, and just trust God. See, when you start doing that, you'll see things happening. Because God's not going to work it out until you let it go. Because if you can work it out, you don't need Him. And if you need Him, you need to let it go and let Him have it and watch Him do what only He is able to do. Give God some praise in the house today. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this reminder that if we would let go our problems, our situation, our circumstances, and give them to you, stop worrying about them and trust you, we'll see things begin to happen. How clear is it that while we're trying to figure it out, you've already worked it out. Simply trusting you is what you desire we do. So, Father, now as we turn our attention to this word today, we would that you'd allow the Holy Ghost to touch us and teach us. Each and every one of us, meet us where we are, lift us to the place you would have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the believer said, amen. Would you turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew's account, chapter 16. Matthew, beginning at chapter 16, verse 1. Recorded are these words. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is even, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, if God doesn't do another thing, will you still believe? If God doesn't do another thing, will you still believe? Help me get this message over to your neighbor and say, neighbor, in your life, if God doesn't do another thing, will you still believe? Turn to your next neighbor and say the same thing. Say, neighbor, in your life, if God doesn't do another thing, will you still believe? Now, if you don't want to talk to your neighbor because they look mean and scary, say to yourself, self, as I look over my life, if God doesn't do another thing, will I still believe? That's a question only you can answer today. This is a word here as they request a sign from heaven. Jesus listens and he looks beyond the surface and underneath the skin and reads them like a book. He sees again from a hypocritical point of view and stance that these folk who were following him were following him not necessarily because they truly believed in the miracle worker, but rather in the miracles worked. As a result of that, Jesus recognized that the problem was that their faith was fed on constant miracles, seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. In other words, their faith was not sustained in and through and by the one who worked the miracles, but their faith was sustained when it started getting shaky and when it started getting low based upon them seeing him do another thing. One of the things, my brothers and sisters, that you will understand about a miracle is the purpose for the miracle is to point back to the master. He didn't want us to get hung up on miracles for the sake of miracles, but to be connected to the one who works the miracles. And if you are truly connected with the miracle worker, then miracles will show up in your life. See, the problem with the non-believer is they say, show me, and I'll believe. But the believer believes and believes, and then God shows them. And so oftentimes, even as this gathering of Pharisees and Sadducees, the once religious, most righteous sect of religious believers following Jesus, the Sadducees as well following Jesus, but they were following for a sign. And there were some things that Jesus detected. The first thing he detected was, one, their false faith. False faith. Now, here's what you need to know. Faith that doesn't ask but trust is a faith on a higher order. Jesus wanted to get them to graduate from seeing miracles to believing his word and his work and founding their faith based on that reality and not on a continuous demonstration of his ability to keep refreshing them that he is who he say he is. One of the things that you're going to recognize as you look at the text and recognize how Jesus is dealing with them, he calls to their attention that they've got some knowledge. They have based their ability to read the signs of the skies and the signs of the cosmos, but yet they could not discern spiritual things or the signs of the time. He goes back and he says to them, as he challenges them there, verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, notice that word tempting, they were trying him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. A sign from heaven. Was it the heavens of the lower celestial power and beings or the upper? What was the real reality of that tempting him to show them a sign? Look at what the word says. Verse 2, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it would be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? Listen at this. People now who are supposed to be religious folk, and I do caution you to recognize that there is a difference between religious folk and righteous folk. But the religionists were able to judge, to see, to determine the face of the sky, the natural, the reality that is fading and fleeting. And yet the things that were more weightier, the things that mattered the most, the spiritual and the supernatural things, they could not discern. It's amazing how church folk can tell you about worldly stuff, but they can't tell you about word stuff. Be cautious and careful about the churchgoer who can tell you about all the stuff that's going on in the world but can't open up the word to you, who can prophesy to you about stuff, again, of what they've heard, known, seen, that deals with the natural and can't delve into the supernatural. Watch out for folk who are in church, but the church isn't in. Because Jesus acknowledges that they are religionists, but they are not righteous people who are able to discern the spiritual times in which we live. Here's what you need to know. You ought to be more concerned about what the Lord is doing above the sky rather than what he's doing in the sky. See, in other words, what you've got to realize is all this heaven and earth is going to pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word shall ever pass away. If you're going to learn to read something, it ought to be his word. It ought to be the supernatural things of God. You need to be able to interpret and understand the spiritual things that have life connected with it and life that's structured after life. He calls them hypocrites, and I'm always amazed when he calls them hypocrites, because church folk can be called to many things, but they don't like to be called hypocrites. And I don't care what you say, but there are hypocrites in every walk of life, in every place in life, and the church is no exception. You don't believe me? Let's take a little test. How many of you saved? Raise your hand in the house. All right. Hands went up slow. I saw you. But how many of you know the Bible says thou shalt not lie? Have you lied lately? Don't raise your hand. This is for you. I ain't asking nobody. Thou shalt not steal. Well, Pastor, I sure know I ain't no thief. Well, it don't necessarily mean time. You could be, money. It could be time you're stealing from the job, stealing from the Lord. It could be resources you're stealing. You got to hear me when I say that when we think about stealing, it ain't just about money, honey. It's about so many other things you think other folks. Listen, if it don't belong to you and you take it, that's... Yeah. Whether they miss it or not, need it or not, that still belongs. So that still. So all of us are guilty of that in some way or another. I could go on and read the laundry list, but all it adds up to is the fact that we're all, if we're not perfect, hypocrites. Because on Sunday mornings we lift holy hands. Are they really? He know what you did with those hands last night, last week, this, y'all acting holier than thou. I'm talking about when he said hypocrites, he was talking to folk who were not perfect, but who claimed to be and acted as though they were and presented themselves as such. See, that's why we need to be real. He's still working on me. He's still dealing with me. He's still perfecting me. But when you act like you're all of that and you have arrived, Jesus calls you a hypocrite. Person always pointing the finger. Don't realize that there are witnesses pointing right back at him. And one pointing up to God, who's got a record of everything you've done and said. Hypocrite. Ask your neighbor, are you a hypocrite? See how they looked at you, didn't they? Dun, 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 dun. Hit it for me, Chad. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So listen at this. He says, hypocrite, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. So he deals with their false faith. But there's something else he deals with in the text, and he deals with their frustrated focus and their future. They ask for a sign because their focus is in the wrong place, on the wrong thing, connected to the wrong signs. And so they are frustrated because they're at the point now where they need another sign to take them a little further. How many times have you prayed to God about a certain situation, certain thing, certain person, etc., and God, clear as day, gave you the answer? And one of the things that I love about the Lord is many times He'll show you the end at the beginning. But He will not give you details except you get them fresh day by day. And so sometimes He tells you, you're going to make it. Shows you, you're going to make it. But He doesn't tell you how you're going to make it. And you become frustrated because you've gone to God and you've shouted and you've rejoiced. God has shown me my end, and it is a wonderful end. It is a blessed end. He showed me how I'm going to be on top. I'm going to be the head, not the tail. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's going to enlarge my territory, on and on and on and on. And He does what He says He's going to do. But so many of us who have a false faith or who does not have our faith rooted in Him continuously seek Him for a sign, another sign. If He's already said you're the winner, then all you got to do is show up at the fight. Listen, if it's scheduled for 10 rounds and you're down to the last minute in the 10th round, what you know is if He showed you you're going to be the winner, it don't take but one punch to knock out your opponent. He might have beat you silly, and in all 9 rounds, it's already been given to your opponent. But how many of you know you can do a TKO? A technical knockout. One good punch. I mean, because you know when the enemy starts getting cocky because he's gotten you beat 9 rounds, he know he's got this fight, and he starts playing with you. But God raises up in you a strength that you didn't have before and anoints you in a way to put the enemy out of his misery with one punch. And nobody thought you would do it, including yourself. But God promised, and in the end, you win. See, what I'm trying to help somebody understand is that when you really have faith, true faith in God, you don't have to keep asking Him over and over and over again when He's already said, declared what your blessing is. Now, you might have to work through some stuff. You may have to go through some stuff. You may even have to deal with some stuff, but what you need to know before you even go through it is that it's already done. Oh, yeah. It's already fixed, and with God, it's already finished. You've just got to keep your focus and watch God do what He promised He would do. True faith doesn't continuously bombard God with, okay, what's next, Lord? Okay, we get to this point. Where are we going next, Lord? Jesus just told His disciples, follow me. He didn't give them an itinerary every day and of everything He was going to do. He got up and He just simply told them, follow me. Now here's what you've got to understand. There are some things God wants to do on His agenda that's not on your agenda. And if God is going to do it, it makes sense that you follow His agenda. And when you follow His agenda, one of the things you've got to recognize is He has already promised what He's going to do. So if He doesn't do it today, just keep following Him. If He doesn't do it tomorrow,
Just keep following him. Because here's the truth. He is not a man that he should lie. So what he promised, he will perform. So the truth of the matter is, your faith should grow in the knowledge that God is in control and that God knows what's best and when it's best to do what he has promised to do for you. And so if it doesn't happen when you want it to happen, rest your faith in the fact that it still is going to happen. He's frustrated with them being frustrated with their focus and their future. Lord, we need another sign from heaven. My brothers and sisters, that's a good way to frustrate not only your focus, but your future. Because when you get to the point where you stop trusting God and start trusting signs, when you miss your source and it's all about signs, can I tell you, I want to let you in on a news flash, the devil has signs also. Have you ever heard of knockoffs, imitations? Some of you smiling because I know you ain't got no real Dooney and Burks and no real Louis Vuitton and no real. Now, some of you got them and some of you had to fake it till you were able to make it, but you come on, don't play here. Look at me like I'm making this up. Because the truth of the matter, all of us have been at that place in time where the imitation would do until we were able to get the original. You don't believe it? If you look on your wrist and it says Rolex, it may not really be a Rolex, but some of them look so much like a Rolex to you'll assume it's a Rolex, and some folk don't even have to lie about it. It just looks so good. But it's not the real thing. And here's what you don't understand, that even if it looks that way, it's not made the same way. And so the bottom line is, what you don't realize is there is a major difference between what is real and what is not real. And what is also real is what is not real can't stand the same kind of test that what is real. Don't get mad with me looking at me like I'm talking about your stuff. Because I want you to know, ain't nothing wrong with your stuff. If it's good to you, it's good. That's good. Everybody's good with it. Amen. Because really, stuff don't make you. Yeah, you take somebody who's got it going on, they can go to Kmart and outdress somebody who has been dressed down from a show enough custom-made a suit makeup. Girl, where you got them shoes from? Payless. Yeah, but she's strutting like they came from some high-dollar store. I got some just like that. Where you got yours from? Macy's. You paid $250, she paid $25. She looked just as good. Now, she might not be in Wham as long as you wear yours. I listen at this. I discovered that we've had the artificial and imitation for so long that it has placed a limitation on our appreciation for the real. Let me say it again, I'll slow it down. We've had the artificial and imitation for so long that it has placed a limitation on our appreciation for the real. In other words, we've been fooled so long by what's not real that when the real deal comes, we act like fools. Somebody didn't get that. I'll say it again. We've been fooled so long by what's not real that when the real deal comes along, we act like fools. And see, that's the problem with always accepting that is not real. And Jesus knew that their faith was not real, and they had been used of the artificial, and they had been used of the temporary, and they had been used to those things that were not eternal. And so as a result of that, Jesus knew that their true faith was not in him. You see, my brothers and sisters, the Lord knows whether or not you really believe him and you come to church and worship him for him, or you come and worship and praise him for what you want from him. You see, you've got to have a conviction in your heart, mind, and soul. If the Lord doesn't do another thing for me. Matter of fact, I know I wouldn't be where I am right here and now. I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave. The enemy could have taken me out a long time ago. There have been so many chances upon so many chances that the Lord has given me. If he chose not to do another thing for me, I still will believe him. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Three Hebrew boys had settled non-negotiable, non-discussable convictions underneath the skin that they would serve no other God but their God. One day the king made a great golden image and wanted them to fall down at the sound of the music and worship the golden image. And those who would not would be thrown into a furnace filled with fire. The people noticed that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the music played, would not bow. And they brought them before the king, and the king said, there must be some problem. You must not have understood the instructions. Listen, here it is again. When the music plays, I want you boys to bow down like everybody else is doing. You understand that? You some good boys don't want to hurt y'all, but if y'all don't bow down, we're going to have to throw you in the fiery furnace. Look at what they said. O king, live forever. We don't mean no disrespect. It really isn't about you, king. It's about the commitment we have made. It's about the faith we have in our God. Our God is well able to deliver us out of your hands, and he will. But if not, we still won't bow. You see, they've got to that point where they were saying, listen, if the Lord chooses not to save us, we still won't serve your idol gods. If God doesn't do another thing, we made up our mind, it's better to obey God and suffer the consequences than to change with the shifting tides and going along because everybody is doing it. We have made a commitment to God. We're going to love him, serve him, worship him, and him only will we serve. So our mind is fixed. Our hearts are made up, and we will not bow down. Y'all know how the story ended. King ordered the furnace to be fired up 7 times hotter than it ought to have been, and then he had them bound up and ordered to be thrown into the fire. He got some of his strongest men to take the three boys down to the fiery furnace. And the record is, when they opened up the door of the fiery furnace, the men that threw them in got burned up, but not the three Hebrew boys. They went in there bound. And I gotta tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you are convinced that if the Lord don't do another thing for you, it's still all right with you, you can still have a praise party even in the midst of your fiery experience. They didn't let the trials they were going through keep them from praising God. They would not allow that to keep them from giving God the glory that he deserved. So right in the midst of their trouble and their struggle, they say, it's a good time for a praise party. I'm trying to help somebody here. While you're going through some of the worst times of your life, when your mind is made up, that's a good time to have a praise party. When folk think you ought to be crying, when it looks like you're not going to make it through, when things are so dark and trouble is on every hand and folk have walked away from you and no loved ones are by your side, it's a good thing that when the outlook looks bad, there's an uplook. Look unto the Lord, who is the author and finisher of your faith. And so look at what the Lord does, because I want you to see this before I close this feeble message. If whatever you are in is too hot for you to handle, invite Jesus in. Oh, somebody's not hearing me here. It It burned up the men that threw them in, but their faith kept them together and cool, calm, and collected till Jesus joined them. And the man sitting on the throne called the king looked into the furnace.